Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For those of you who are going to go into serving, just know when they tell you that your shift is from 4 to 8, you're going to be there till 10. There's no 4 to 8, okay?
Oh, yeah.
There is no
8. This ain't a bank.
Yeah.
You know when you get 8 when you quit and you walk out? That's when you get 8.
That's when you get 8.
You're not getting a hard out, ever. Oh. Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's show, journalist Megan Fox goes back to serving after 20 years behind the keyboard. And so we will get the tales from the restaurant, but first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a part.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny Davila.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people?
Welcome, welcome, Megan Fox. How are you?
Hi,
very
Megan.
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again. I was on Megan's show maybe a month ago.
Yeah, I hijacked you for like 2 hours, and you did so good hanging out with me for that long. Everybody loved it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. You do a live show. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I stream on YouTube and Rumble, and I do mostly coverage of trials, true crime, stuff like that. And on my Locals page, though, meganfox.locals.com, I do a lot more fun stuff. We do cooking, we do cleaning streams, laundry streams, watching movies together. And also, I started doing a series called Tales from the Restaurant because I went back to serving after many, many years behind a keyboard because I got a pinched nerve and some chronic pain from sitting all day long for 20 years. Apparently the spine doesn't like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So yes. it was brought to my attention that I should walk a lot more. And then I thought, well, I can't walk for hours a day without getting paid. It's taking away from what I do to get, you know, I can't sit in front of my keyboard. So there goes that money. So what can I do that I can walk and get paid? And I used to wait tables years ago when I was in my 20s, you know, to make ends meet. And I thought, mm-hmm. well, and I've been in the restaurant industry my whole life. My dad owned restaurants and grocery stores, and so I worked for him since I was little. So I have a background in it, and I've always enjoyed it. So I decided to go back to it, and you know what? I got 100% out of pain within about 3 months.
That is so interesting because, you know, one of the hazards of the job is that people record back pain, foot pain, carpal tunnel, things like that. Here you go and you use it as physical therapy.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and now slow season's killing me because I've not had any shifts in a couple of weeks because it's so slow. And so now the pain is coming back. I have to get out and just walk on the road, I guess, until the people come back to town.
So give us a little context of, in general, Where are you and what's your season like?
So I'm in New York, and I'm in the western part of New York, far west by Rochester. And so here we have beautiful Finger Lakes, and we have this summer. It's a very beautiful summer here. So it's a short season. Our season is basically between June and September. Anything after that, yeah, it's a very short season. So are there other options? Yeah, I guess I haven't. I could go to the ski mountain and try my hands over there because we have skiing during the winter. So there's plenty of other places that might have more business. But I learned the hard way. You got to get a job there in the high season because when it comes to low season, they're not hiring anymore.
So after you've done journalism, you authored a couple of books, and 20 years go by. How has it changed? How has the restaurant changed, in your opinion?
Boy, it doesn't seem to have changed much at all, other than the POS system. You know, everything to me seems very much like riding a bike, you know, just like getting back on it. I don't see much difference except for the computers and the touch buttons. You know, back in the day, it was writing on notepads and, you know, handing those tickets to the kitchen. In the restaurant where I work, it's kind of interesting because the food is not on the same floor as we are. We have a big banquet facility that does weddings and other sorts of classes, like cooking classes. And the restaurant's upstairs and all that stuff is downstairs. And the kitchen is down there, too. So we have to get our food off of an elevator. And so we communicate by radio, which is very different. That's one thing I've never done before, communicating with the kitchen through a radio instead of being able to just walk in, you know, and say, hey, where's my stuff? that's interesting.
Is the radio system tethered to you, or is it like a walkie-talkie?
Do you have an earpiece? It's a walkie-talkie. Okay. And that has its downsides, because if you're standing by a table and somebody comes over the radio, they have to be very careful what they're saying. Normally, it's very short, like just food on the LA, you know, and then you know, like to just go get it. But sometimes tempers flare.
My goodness.
And I have been standing by a table when a couple of F-bombs got flown over the radio. And, you know, then you're grabbing for it and trying to turn it off and like...
Is it on your shoulder? Is it on your waist?
Most of the time, I like to keep it on my shoulder so it's next to my ear. Because if I put it by my waist, it's next to the customer's ear. Because I'm standing.
That's a good point.
So I try to keep it up here. And then I can easily just kind of like cover it. It's so dumb. But I mean, we have to communicate with them in some way. And if you turn the volume down too low... Well, then you miss it. You know, then you don't hear it in a busy, loud restaurant, right?
True. One of the places that we go to for our shift drinks, Anthony's, they have earpieces in. And the other day I was in and I was asking them, is that distracting to walk around and then you hear chatter in your ear? Because most when you're wearing it, I think all the employees really... all wear them except for the bartenders, really.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine trying to engage guests with other things going on. So
that's difficult. I will often, when I'm at a table and I'm talking, and if they start talking on the radio and it has nothing to do with me, I will just grab it and turn it all the way down. But then I just have to remember to turn it back up. I can't imagine have it in my ear and not... I mean, could you rip it out if you needed to? I don't know. Because I have ADD really bad, and I get distracted really easily. So it's very hard for me. That's a hard challenge for me.
Speaking of challenges, what was your biggest challenge when you went back? I mean, I can only imagine they're completely different. Journalism.
Yes.
You have, you know, what was your biggest challenge?
I was very worried I wouldn't be able to carry the big tray anymore, even though I had carried the big tray for years. We do have food runners, but on days that we don't have food runners, then we need to do the big tray. But I was pleasantly surprised that the very first time I picked up the big tray, I just remembered how to do it. And so I haven't had any of those issues, like dropping anything. And it's just kind of like I said, like riding a bike. The biggest challenge for me is dealing with the schedule and not having a set schedule. That's really the hardest thing for me. We're kind of overstaffed, and now that it has gotten to be so slow, all of a sudden all my shifts are just gone, you know? So it's hard not to take that personally. It's really hard to not take that like, gee, did I do something? Did I say something? Because that's possible with me. I say a lot of things. So I may have... Who did I offend is always what I think to myself first, when it could just be that everybody is experiencing this downturn and it's not just me. But that's probably my biggest challenge, is wondering, did I say something I shouldn't have said?
Where are you at in the totem pole of, in the schedule?
So, it's weird. So I'm one of the newer ones in the restaurant. Mm. But there is someone who's newer than me. And she's been given most of the shifts I was taken. So I don't know what happened. Which is why I think, gosh, did I piss somebody off? I don't know. They say I didn't, but my shifts are gone. So I don't know what to think about that.
Were you able to have a conversation with the schedule
maker? I did. Okay. And it was just like, no, everything's fine. And this is how it is right now. And there was no real... So I find that difficult. I find the communication difficult because sometimes I feel like, you know, in the restaurant business, if they don't want you anymore, they just don't put you on the schedule. No one fires you.
Because you know. They never know if they're going to need you again.
Right.
So. Yeah, it can be very passive aggressive that way. I mean, we experience slow season here. And I mean, Danny's at the top of the food chain at his place. And so, he stays more moderate than I do. My lows are lows and the highs are pretty good. And so the ones that are able to navigate at my place have other things going on. But the challenge for me is that the perception is, I'm here, I don't necessarily need the job. So, oh, he has other things going on. I'm going to give the shifts to, you know, so-and-so. So I feel that I'm constantly reminding them that, hey, you know, I'm not here for laughs and beer, you know?
Yeah,
that could be my fault. That could be the perception because I, you know, they know that I have another job. They know that that my husband has a job, that I'm mm-hmm. I'm doing it primarily for exercise and to stay well. And although because I did take because I can't sit in front of a keyboard, you know, maybe I didn't communicate that my salary's been chopped down a lot. So I am I am relying on the money. So it's possible that that's my fault for not communicating that, but at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess what I have to do, and I didn't want to do, is I'm going to have to get a second job somewhere else. And then I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to have to say no a lot more often, which I never say no. That's the thing, is that I feel like, I'm like, why would you take me off the schedule? I never say no. I say yes all the time. I say it to every time you call for, if somebody can't show up, I will be there. Because my schedule is really flexible. But now if I have to do that, if I have to get a second job, now I'm going to have to juggle the schedules and say no a lot more. And that's a really difficult thing, too. Like, if you're working at more than one restaurant, because I did that in the summer. I worked at another restaurant at the same time. And my manager was really annoyed by that. She was like, oh, when do I get you full time? So then I finally quit over there and I'm here full time. And now I'm not on the schedule. So it's like, well, I shouldn't have quit then, I guess.
You should definitely approach that situation and speak to that manager who asked you to stay full-time anyways. This is the spot that you're at now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go talk to that manager and say, hey, you know, I did this for you. In the end, technically, you technically did it for them, you know, because you want to be a part of that team and see what they can do for you before you go out and try to find that second job.
You know, restaurants are so jealous when it comes to a server being at another place. I don't know why, but it's almost universal. Mm-hmm. You utter one word about being with another restaurant, the jealousy comes out and they treat you completely different. Meanwhile, if you were taking those hours and you were in school, or if you worked in the kitchen, they're accommodating, it's no big deal. But for whatever reason, they don't want to deal with a server seeing other people.
It does feel that way. It does, because the second I had this other job, and the reason I took it was because they told me right up front, we can't offer you the hours that you wanted. I wanted like 25 hours a week. And I said, okay, that's all right. Well, I'll just pick up another job and take up some shifts over there. And as soon as I did that, it was, well, I need you more than that. Well, wait a minute. Yes. You just said you didn't need me more than that, you know? So I don't know. It's hard. Oh,
I see it so clearly. They want to be wanted. Trust yeah. me. They want to be wanted and pick you up when it's so nuanced. And the schedule thing is really, really, really a touchy thing, because as we're talking here, I could substitute you for a number of people that I work with at the moment, because they're having problems with the schedule. They lost brunch and, you know, so-and-so has it. I don't know why, and things like that. And when I worked with you, Danny, and I first started, the schedule was an issue for me, but I was constantly picking up shifts,
yeah,
constantly demonstrating that I really want. And I'm not the person that wants to work a lot, mind you. I just want the days that I want.
He wants what he wants.
I want what I want, but
and he wants it
the
now.
Minute you start calling me for, like, yeah, hey, can you pick up? Whoa. Whoa. I don't know about that double there.
I love a double shift. The double shifts are great.
No, you do not.
I do. I love a
double.
Are
you serious?
I make tons of money. I get tons of steps. And we eat for free when we're on a double. So I love a double shift. I just do. I think it's better for me to walk out with a big check. And I feel good about mm-hmm. that. And I also got tons of exercise. And so I just feel good. I just feel good at the end of that day. I know it sounds crazy, right? But I'm exactly
what
you...
It does sound crazy.
I'm exactly what you want. I am exactly what a restaurant wants, because I'm very flexible. I have tons of hours to give you. I love a double shift. I always come in. So I don't know.
Okay. There's some maybe you have a grating personality. Something's not stirring the Kool-Aid. Like,
but the weird part.
How
is
long are your double shifts?
Just about 8 hours.
Okay, that's not bad then.
No.
Okay. Wait. Let me understand this. 8 total consecutive hours or 8 working hours?
8,
do you get,
like,
a break in between? Is it?
I could take a break in between. Yeah, there's always a slow time between 3 and 5, but then we're doing side work. I generally don't take a break. I usually just do my side work and find other things to do. And then the next shift goes, like, until the restaurant closes, which would be like 9, but then we're there till 10 at least, maybe 10:30.
Oh,
so
that.
Maybe 9 hours. Yeah, I hate that. You're never on. You, for those of you who are going to go into serving, just know when they tell you that your shift is from 4 to 8, you're going to be there till 10. There's no 4 to 8. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
There is no
this
8.
Ain't a bank.
Yeah.
You know when you get 8? When you quit and you walk out. That's when you get 8.
That's when you get
you're
8.
You're not getting a hard out ever.
No.
Not even when you're in overtime. It's like, I'm sorry. You got to stay till.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app. Or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
And you're like, please, sir.
Hey, that's something to do.
Please, sir, can I leave now? Nope.
But, I mean, you don't even ask, because that's Jeopardy right there. There's no way that you're going to be able to leave when your coworkers are brothers in arms.
Yeah.
So
and they're in the middle of the
trenches.
They're in the middle of the trenches.
You have to be able to.
Yeah.
Yes. 8 o'clock is, those are blackout dates in Disney, you know? It's like, it's not happening.
Right.
It's so interesting that you say that. I mean, we have mostly industry friends for that reason, mm-hmm. because non-industry friends, they're off on holidays or they're out and they're saying, oh, what time? Don't ask me what time I'm getting out, please. Just I'll show up when I can, the earliest I can.
I'll be there when I get there.
It could be between 9:30 or 11:30. Give me a 3-hour window.
Yeah, you can't tell.
Without a doubt.
Because if the restaurant is not busy, you know, you could be in it. You could be out of there in a half an hour after close. But if the restaurant has been busy, true. You have an entire restaurant full of silverware to roll, and it's still got to be washed.
Absolutely.
And and there's, you know, the dishes didn't get sent down to the kitchen until, you know, after close. Or we have a band on Friday nights, and the boy, do I hate this. So now they have this thing that they have the band that comes, and the restaurant closes at 9, but the bar will stay open till 9:30 because the band will play till 9:30. But then those people absolutely. Do not leave. They do not leave at 9:30. Mm. They're rocking out.
Yeah.
And we're standing around like, we have been done for an hour. Would you please go?
That damn band.
They
get you every time.
Every time. I do love the live music. That's a fun night, but it's brutal to get people to leave. People, leave when the restaurant closes. Please. We beg you.
So there's no separate, like, area where the bar and the band is at compared to where, like, the restaurant's at, so you guys can clean up and do your normal stuff?
Yeah, there is, but the bar, we also have to clean up the bar. So if they still have plates on their tables, like, we'll try and pre-bus those and, like, get the plates off the bar tables. We've got high tops in the bar. So we'll try and pre-bus all that, but then the bartender still has to wash all the glasses. We're not coming and taking their glasses away, you know? So,
yes.
It's just, and then just like having those lingering people is kind of, you know, frustrating when we're ready to go. But what are you going to do? That's the business.
You ain't making no money.
Yeah, nobody's making any money. Right. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like you mentioned, you know, taking the glasses away. I take them glasses. If you're down to the nub, oh yes, I get them out. I don't know about you, but I get them out. I'm not shy. If it's not being used, I'll just take that right there. I'll leave you the napkins for as long as possible. So I do it in stages. Any reason for me to keep coming back to the table or to the bar top to really let you know
that he's there. Yeah,
that I'm here and it's time to go and there's motion, I'm going to take every opportunity to do so.
I've learned so much from you. You have so many good tips like that. I love listening to your tips on all of this.
Okay, so let's switch it up. If there's something that you would love to solve, put me on the spot and let me know, what is it that you would like to know?
I want to know how to get back on the schedule. God. Why the hell am I not on the schedule?
That's knowing the schedule maker.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, you definitely have to know your manager or whoever the management is and kind of see, almost kind of be quiet, but watch and kind of see what their tendencies are and stuff like that. And this way you can almost define what kind of manager you're dealing with, and that's how you can approach them the best way.
Absolutely. If I were you, I would start from, like I said, knowing the schedule maker. And what has worked for me is sitting down. It doesn't have to be a big sit down, but letting them know that this conversation is regarding the schedule and saying, what is it that you need? You know, like ask them to identify what they need from you. And it puts them in a position to help you, because if they say, oh, I don't need anything from you, then they're just admitting that, you know, you're useless there. And then, you know, you could just go about your business. And you say, hey, listen, I'd love to help out. I'd love to, you know, do more. And you don't really even mention the schedule. It's like, what is it that you need from me? Do you need me on call? And you just hopefully give them an opportunity to speak. And as they're speaking, you're a journalist. You are going to be solving the issues that they have, like you told me, oh, I'm available for doubles. I have a lot of free time and this and that. And then you start to, once they have completely spoken what their issues are, and their issues may not even be with you, they may be solving their other scheduling issues by not scheduling you. They may have a person that they feel is very needy or warranted more of a schedule. And then you say, hey, you know, I do have a slow time for this, and, you know, I do have a need for that. And then it puts you on the top of the mind for at least, hey, maybe you don't get, you know, a plus three more shifts, but you might get a plus one or two more.
Yeah, I'd settle for one, you know. I'd settle for one shift a week at this point. And it seems like there should be room for it, but it just hasn't happened. So, yeah, I think I might need to have a face-to-face, because so far it's been all over the text message, because that's how they communicate. And that might not be the most effective way to communicate.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a squeaky wheel business for sure, is how, especially with schedule makers. And then they may reveal something that is is useful for you.
Absolutely. Texting is so much easier to hide for them. So you're a journalist. You know, go in there. You got to be in their face and just, but not in like a, not to where you're being a pest, to more where you're being.
FaceTime.
Yeah. Got, this way you can read them and you can really get a better understanding of what's going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I always get happy to go to work, even if it's only a shift or two a week. And, I'm always happy to be there. Happy. I love it there. And I even like dealing with weird customers, even the crazy ones, you know, who give you all kinds of hell, because it's funny and it gives me content. And I also just think people are hilarious.
Describe a guest interaction that really sucked, that challenged you.
Oh, well, it had to be the extra, extra lady. She wanted extra, extra everything on extra, extra this. And she had this funny voice and it sounded just like that. And her date or whoever she was with, he was barely able to restrain himself. He kept trying to stop her from what she was doing. And it was so funny because every time she would open her mouth, he would be over there going, no, no, oh God, no.
Oh my, out loud?
Out loud, under his breath, no, oh God, no. And she would say, she would go, okay, I want a Caesar salad, but I want only green lettuce, only the green lettuce. The greenest lettuce that you have. And I'm like, okay. And inside I'm thinking, lady, you're going to get what you get. I'm not going to tell this. Yes. I'm not going to tell the kitchen to pick out each individual leaf for you. Like, no, yeah. No. But I don't say that. I'm like, sure, you know. And then she goes, and I want extra, extra dressing. Extra, extra. And she said it like four times. Extra, extra. Okay. Then she orders some other sandwich or something, and she goes, and I need extra aioli on the sandwich and extra aioli on the side. And like her date is just like, by this time he's like over there, like just melting in his chair.
Shaking his head.
Oh yeah. And his order was like, I'll have the burger and fries, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Did she even use the extras?
She did, except there was some, there was one side of aioli left over that she did take home with her. So I will give her the pass because at least she took it home. But then when she ordered cheesecake, she stayed for dessert. There are some people you really don't want to stay for dessert. She was one of them. And she stayed for dessert. I knew what was coming. She ordered the cheesecake, and the cheesecake has a berry compote underneath, you know, and I bring it to her and she goes, oh, no, 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 no. I need extra, extra chocolate. And we both, me and the date, look at her like, what? There's no chocolate on this. This is not. I said, no, ma'am, this is berries. It's berries. She goes, I know, but I want extra, extra chocolate. I'm like, let me get this straight. You want me to go? You want me to go get the Hershey syrup and just like, just all over. Load it. She's like, I know you have chocolate here. I'm like, Okay. All right, then. I had to bring her. I literally went and brought her a bowl of Hershey syrup. That's what I did. A bowl of, yeah.
I would have charged her.
Yeah, we don't do that. Extra, it's extra. Like extra, extra. We don't even charge for extra dressings and stuff like that. It's like a fancy place, and they feel like that's, you know, gauche. So we don't charge for extra stuff. But when you have a person like that, it's like, oh, there needs to be a button. There should be a button on the POS for extra morons. Like, that needs, I need a button for that.
And that's what the charge is for.
Yeah, the charge is for taking up our time with these ridiculous requests. The requester button. Yep.
We don't charge extra for things either, but at my discretion, if somebody really is acting extra, I charge them. I've charged people for lemons.
They want a bowl of lemons, worst.
No problem.
The lemon bowl people of lemons, are the no worst. Problem.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God. Yeah. I had a guy ask me for lemons for his water. I bring him the lemons for his water. I put them right in front of him, and I'm watching him the whole time he's there. He never touches the lemons. At one point, I come over and I say to him, "Sir, I put the lemons right here for your water, remember?" He goes, "Yeah, I know." I walk away.
He just likes looking at them?
He left them there. Wow. The whole time. Never used them.
That's garbage. That's awful.
It's awful.
Now he needs to be charged.
He should be charged.
He needs to be horsewhipped is what needs to happen. That's a bad, bad person. That's a bad person who takes food and just wastes it and stares at it and doesn't do anything with it and made you go and run and get it and then nothing. Didn't even take it home. I don't know what that was for. Yeah. Were they emotional support lemons?
They might have been.
Okay, I'm gonna let you go on this final one. What is what's the best and worst of going back to
the restaurant?
To the restaurant. What's the best and what's the worst?
All right. Well, the best has definitely been the camaraderie and making friends and the social aspect of it. I think is the best thing because there's a really good crew, and just honing that skill again, getting better at waiting tables again. I'm, getting really good at it again, which I like. And then, but the worst part is this downturn in business and then having to worry about all of this. Like, what did I do? Is it me? Am I not liked? That's the worst part. It feels like high school,
Navigating the slow season.
Navigating the slow season. Yes. That is definitely what I would say.
Okay. So I know I promised you, but you did say the camaraderie. Now you're married.
Yeah.
Do you drink at all? Do you do shift drinks?
I do. I usually have my shift drink when we're rolling silverware, though. We don't go to other places. I mean, we have gone to other places. I've done it once with my manager and the bartender. We went across the street to the biker bar, which was an experience. I had never been there before.
I believe it.
That was quite the experience. But I don't stay out too late. I did that one time. And then our shift drinks we have at the restaurant, we're just having a beer while we roll silverware. But yeah, I do gotcha. Hang out with them. They do more things together that I'm not able to do because I have, kids at home. Like when we don't work on Mondays or Tuesdays. Last night they took somebody out for their birthday and I wasn't able to go because I'm cooking dinner for my kids and stuff. So, I've been invited to a couple of things.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel sometimes, though, that maybe that's part of the problem, too. Like, maybe I need to be more I'll go to whatever we're doing. I'll do but I do have momming to do.
You shouldn't have to worry about a social obligation to get yourself on the schedule.
No, that's not a part of it. No. Yeah. Even for the camaraderie, you do it the way that you can. You don't want to go out, spend money or spend time. You're doing it exactly the right way, because Danny and I experienced that. Well, Danny's more active than I am socially, but that's just a personality thing. He's very outgoing. I don't like people. So.
But yeah, no, you're so funny, Marlon. I would never have guessed in a million years that you were not a people person. Hearing you say, "I don't like people," cracked me up. It just cracked me up because you just don't seem like you're just so you seem outgoing to me. Like this is something that you enjoy the interaction. And
this
it's
was
just
years. This is a work of years. No.
Yeah, actually, yes, this is getting better and better because it was worse before. I remember working with Danny and a gentleman came up to me in the middle of the dining room and he started yelling at me and I said, is there something wrong with the service? And then he's like, because he noticed every other server's jovial and talking to people and I wasn't doing that. And I said, sir, I was giving you everything that you wanted. He's like, not everything. And then it started to click that friend. That's a part of it. Yeah, he wanted a friend. Yeah, he was solo. And so I learned a very valuable lesson that not everyone's there for just food or just, you know, they want more.
Oh, and God help you if you're giving one table, because you know how you have different energy with different tables. You don't have the same energy with every table. So I had this one table that was so jovial and fun, and they had like 20 people there. It was a big table for two anniversaries, and they were just in the best mood. And we were cracking jokes. I was taking pictures for them. And then I had this two top over in the side who had no problems. They got everything they ordered right on time. I didn't ignore them, but they weren't giving me anything. In fact, the woman at the table was really giving me the cold shoulder. So I thought she doesn't want that. She wants to just enjoy her food with her date and have me just kind of silently be in and out. So that's what I was doing for them because I felt that that's what she wanted because they didn't give me anything back. You know, when I tried to banter with them, it was like a nothing. So then you just back off and you give them the silent service. She left me the nastiest review, and part of her review was, first of all, she said it was the worst service she's ever had, which cannot possibly be true, because she got everything. She got everything she wanted right when she wanted it. But she said in her review that I spent all of my time at the big money table and none of my time with them. And she was facing me the whole time. I was like where the big table was. She was facing that table. And I guess because they were loud and boisterous, I think she was jealous of the good time they were having. And she thought that it was because of me. And it wasn't. It was because they were having a good time. And I was just participating in it, you know. And it was so hurtful because I thought, gosh, I really tried to give you a good time, but you didn't want it. You spent all your time being jealous of this other table, and then you take it out on me like I did something wrong. It's really weird how people can be.
Yes.
So absolutely.
They didn't know it was because of them. Like, you bring your own good time, and you feed off of that energy. But she wanted you to make her a bicycle. Make me a bicycle clown.
Exactly.
Yes. I guess.
We're so grateful to have you share with the audience your experience of getting back onto schedule.
God, I hope so.
Yes, and Danny and I are very grateful to our audience. What episode is this going to be, Danny? Is it going to be the first or the last?
The new season. Great question.
The end of November will be six years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so that's fantastic.
Thank you. Show number 261.
Congratulations. That's big.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Hard to keep it up that long. It really is. If anybody out there wants to hear more of my tales from the restaurant, I'm at meganfox.locals.com. You can find me there. I do a lot of these, well, when I'm working. I do a lot of the tales. There's a lot of the videos up there, all my tales over the summer from everything that happens at the restaurant. And it's a lot of fun, and everybody gets a kick out of it. It's all anonymous. It's like blind gossip, you know. It's fun.
Fantastic. And how can the audience reach you if they want to just reach out and touch you?
Sure. They can. My email is meganfox@protonmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at @meganfoxwriter. And, you know, I'm out there. I'm on YouTube @meganfoxwriter as well. And so my YouTube channel is a lot of fun, but it's a lot different than this. I do a lot of court coverage. We just recently covered the Maya Kowalski trial that was happening in Florida. She just won $261 million from Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital for some terrible things they did to her. So we covered that trial. I'm looking for a new one. Florida is usually packed full of high drama trials, though. So.
we keep the drama.
You do.
We keep the drama. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. If you enjoy our show, give us a like. And we do this for you each and every week. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVilla. Subscribe, 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 people.
Thanks again, Megan. We'll see you next time.
Later.